Stop this train. I want to get off and go home again. I can't take the speed. It's moving in. I know I can't. But honestly, won't someone stop this train? Now, I saw Jack got it. That's a song written by a man named John Mayer. Many of you guys probably know of this artist. And in this song, he's talking about life in general. And start off, you're young and kind of carefree. But then, eventually, you get on this train, you're moving through life and it's getting faster and faster, and you realize that you can't stop this train. It's moving towards the end, it's moving towards death. And you can't get off. You want to get off. You want to go home again to where just things were carefree, and honestly, maybe you couldn't even go fast enough. But we all get to a point where it just keeps getting faster and faster, and you realize that the end is coming. And if you know much about John Mayer, you know that he's a very worldly man. And so this end destruction that he sees is actually not as bad as he's actually going to get in the end. He doesn't realize how hard the end is actually going to be for him, unfortunately, if he doesn't get his act together, if he doesn't change his ways. Now that's the world on this train towards destruction. But we have something different, and we know that. We know that we have something different. Let's flip over to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We're going to be sticking in the book of Ephesians for the remainder of this lesson. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. It says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them, we too, all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest." So that was us before. That was the past life, the road to destruction. But, verse 4, God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. We were on the road to destruction. We were going to die. But because of God's grace, we're made new. Because of God's grace, we have a new hope and a new destination that's completely different from the rest of the world. But here's the thing. Unlike the rest of the world, they can do whatever they want. And they're going to get to their destination. It doesn't matter what they do. Us, we're called to do something different. We're called to walk in a different way than the rest of the world. We actually have to follow something in order to get our destination. Unlike the rest of the world, they don't have to follow anything. They're going to get there. What is that? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Ephesians 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." We must be worthy to walk. We must be worthy and walk in a manner that is worthy of the calling with which we've been called. That's different than the rest of the world. So we're going to look at how Paul tells us how we can walk in that manner. He gives four specific things in the book of Ephesians to show us how we can walk that walk and how we can be worthy of the calling with which we've been called. So the first thing that we see is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 says, "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart." So, number one, we must walk worthy in the mind. So Paul's talking about these Gentiles. They shouldn't have the same mind as. And he's saying virtually that the Gentiles live the way they live because they think the way they think. We need to realize that we cannot change our character and the way that we walk in this life without first changing our mind. The way we live is not going to change if our attitude and our mind does not change. Now, when it comes to basic training for our military, yes, they are going to be pushed physically and probably physically harder than they've ever been pushed. But the main goal of basic training is to push them mentally, to change their mind so that they can fulfill the physical outcome that they must do on the battlefield. We must do the same. We must change our mind. We must change the way we think in order to walk in a worthy manner. But what is Paul saying about the Gentiles? What is he saying about their mind that we must change about ourselves and not be like them? Well, let's look again at verse 18. First, it says, being darkened in their understanding. So they were darkened in understanding. For a second, let's talk about some basic mathematics. If I take 7 out of 10, what does it make? 3. We know that. We understand that. We get that because we've been raised with that and we've learned over the years. But imagine, if you will, you go back to when you first learning that in school. The teacher comes up to you and says, okay, if you take 7 out of 10, what do you get? And you say 3. She's like, good job. How did you know that? She's like, well, you told me yesterday. Didn't understand it. I don't understand how you got to it. I know the answer. I just don't understand it. I don't know how you got to this answer. The Gentiles didn't understand this walk. They're darkened in the understanding of how to live the way Christ wants us to live. But continue on in verse 18. It says, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. So now they're ignorant. Now this is the kid that when the teacher says, you take 7 out of 10, what does that make? The kid's like, I don't know. I don't know. They're ignorant. I don't know the answer. I don't get it. So now the Gentiles didn't know. They didn't know anything about how to walk. In fact, possibly they couldn't even recognize someone that was walking in the way that Christ asks them to walk. They're ignorant. And now the last thing in verse 18 says, because of the hardness of their heart. Now this is the kid that as soon as the teacher says, we're going to take 7 out of, sticks his fingers in his ear. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it because I don't like mathematics. I never liked mathematics. You're hardened in your heart. You don't want to know the answer. You don't want to know about this. The Gentiles did not want to know about this life that you got to walk and how you need to walk in this life. They didn't want to know about it. And don't we see that today? A lot of people, they may even claim Christian, but don't want to know how they are supposed to be a Christian. Harden the heart. I don't want to know about it. So first, we've got to make sure that we're not like that. We've got to make sure that we're willing to learn. Unlike the Gentiles. We've got to make sure that we're not ignorant of it. Looking in this word, we've got to make sure that we understand what we're reading in this word before we can ever change our actions to be more like what Christ wants us to be. First, we've got to change our mind. So number one, we need to walk worthy in the mind. But the second thing we see is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, as a fragrant aroma. So the second thing is that we need to walk worthy in love. So we've got, in this passage, we see how, we see the perfect example of love. We see Christ Jesus. He gave himself. He sacrificed his own body. Left heaven for us so that we could be saved. That is the ultimate act of love, is giving up your life for somebody else. And so isn't that the kind of love that we should have? Absolutely. If the day comes that we have to give up our physical life for one of our other brothers and sisters, then we should be willing to do that. That's the kind of love that we're called to have. Now, Lord willing, that day will never come. I hope that that day never comes, that we never have that kind of situation where you have to decide, you know what, I am going to die for you. But until that day comes, we still need to have a sacrificial love towards one another and towards God. We need to give up our life in service to God, in service to others. Now, there's a man that I don't know anything about this man, but I heard a quote from him. His name was H. Jackson Brown Jr., and what he said is that love is when the other person's happiness is more important than your own happiness. That's a pretty basic and good description of love. But even more than that, it's not just earthly happiness that we're looking for. We need to constantly be making sure that we're helping other people. And true love is making sure that they get to heaven along with us. Helping them get to heaven along with us so that they can have that eternal happiness. Now, let's back up a minute and ask the question, well, what about my happiness? If I'm constantly focusing on someone else's happiness, how am I ever going to be happy? Well, here's the goal. God's goal is that... Have you ever seen that game where you sit down on the ground, two people sit down on the ground, back to back, and they latch arms? And then they've got to push each other up to get to the standing position. That's God's goal and hope for us, is that I will love you and help you be happy and help you through this life. And so therefore you will help me get up in this life. That is the kind of goal that God wants from us. Sometimes that's not going to happen. Sometimes you're going to love an individual and try to help them out, and they're never going to give that love back. But guess what? That's what our Savior did. There are a vast majority of people that are not going to give back the love that Christ ever gave them when he was on the cross and died for them. But it's a sacrifice that we must give because we love, because we want to be like Christ, because we want to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called. So that's the second thing that we see. Thirdly, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth." So now, what is light? Light is that obvious thing in the darkness. Even if we're in a dark room, we all know somebody lights a little birthday candle, they're going to see that. Because it's obvious to people. And so therefore, the way we live should be obvious to people that we are of Christ and that we are walking as Christ wants us to walk. What are the fruits of the light as we see in verse 9? The fruit of light consists in all goodness. Our goodness should be shining out to people. Our righteousness should be shining out to people. It's this idea that we've got this moral code that we're going to follow, and you may be with a coworker, and they're like, "Well, hey, it's Friday night. You want to go out? Let's go out, party, get drunk." Say, "Hey, you know what? I'm gonna hang out with you at work. We can be good friends. We may even go out sometime." I'm not gonna do that. It's obvious to people. But also, our truth should be shining out. So they should realize that it's not just an earthly goodness that we're shining. It's not just an earthly righteousness that we're shining, but that it is the true righteousness, the true goodness. What we find in this book is what we are living. We need to walk worthy for the calling with which we've been called. It needs to be obvious. We need to walk worthy, number 3, in the light. But fourth and finally, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." So first, we saw that we need to walk worthy in the mind. Secondly, we saw that we need to walk worthy in love. Thirdly, we saw that we need to walk worthy in light. Fourthly, we see we need to walk worthy in wisdom. We need to be wise in how we use our time in this earth. We need to realize that this walk that we've got is not just a periodic thing. It's not something that I'm going to go back to this life occasionally, the old life that's on that train towards destruction for those earthly pleasures, but then I'm going to come back for the majority of the time, but I'm still going to go back over here. I'm going to come back. We need to realize with wisdom that this walk is a full-time gig. We need to make sure that we're wise with the time, because we don't know how much time we've got left on this earth. We need to be wise with that. We also need to be wise in our time, realizing that, you know what, I've got this great gift. Why am I not going over there where those people are and bringing them back, showing them the gift that I've got? Showing them that they've got this gift actually held out in front of them that they get to take. They get to live this life. If they work at it, if they accept it, join Jesus in this walk. We need to be wise with our time. That's the fourth way that we need to walk worthy. Now, this life that we live, if we're not walking worthy, if we are not following this new way that Jesus is showing us, then it's going to be like that train that's head towards destruction, and there's no hope. And it's going to be awful. But we as Christians have hope if we hold on to Jesus Christ, and if we make sure that we're walking worthy of the calling with which we have been called. Thank you. Amen.